Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
If you are not going to lie, or
with me again today is Dennis Hall, a writer, sculptor, balloonist from the Wellington region. And at the end of our last podcast, we were discussing communism. Then we started to talk about, what did we talk about? I can't remember.
The conversation was sort of flowing. As it would, it was being very free form, I thought, but it had sort of got to civilization, and I just realised that
civilization
is one of my favourite topics.
You believe that we're civilised and that everyone else is not?
No. That's way too simplistic. Well, you know, I mean, what I think. Look, you know, it goes back to that. Remember, we were talking the other day about the Great New Zealand Lie. You know, the Great New Zealand Lie was that we came along, Europeans. So when I say we, I mean Europeans, generally speaking. Europeans arrived here, and they destroyed the Maori sort of lifestyle and society, which was sort of romantic and idyllic, which is absolute abject nonsense. Mm. And we all know, anybody with a half a brain knows that, but at the same time, that is our propaganda. That is the propaganda that they deliver every night at 6 o'clock on TV news and in ads and all the rest of it, because they completely fail to look at the reality. And the reality was that we stopped them from living the way that they were. That's, I agree.
And stopped
with that.
Their language in school, which is a lie.
Well,
We didn't do that. They did that. They called for that.
Yeah, that was because Maori parents weren't stupid. They could look down the road and see houses being built and horses and carts and a technology way ahead of theirs, and our kids need to be part of that.
They're getting left behind.
Learn English.
We can teach them te reo at home. We need them to focus on English so they can get ahead in this modern world that we've been introduced to.
You do know that te reo didn't exist then. Te reo.
No, I noticed that. So it was just Maori language, wasn't it? That's a new thing, isn't it? Like Aotearoa. Oh, another thing, I just wrote to Elon Musk, friend of mine, and he said, I said to him, look, I noticed that when people are from New Zealand, they write, you've got Aotearoa up there. I said, that's a leftist trick and Maori elite trick. You know, that's not, I'd like you to remove that, please, and put our proper name up there, which is New Zealand. So, all right, good on you, mate. Thank you very much, beauty.
Good.
So we'll see how that pans out. That's on Twitter.
But the Aotearoa thing is very subversive.
That was invented by the British. A couple of homosexual writers, probably. Well, I don't know if they're homosexual. So they've got homosexual names. Percy Smith was one of them. Sound Percy. Who'd name your child Percy?
I suppose it's Percival, isn't it? Percy is a bad name. Percy sort of rhymes with pansy. I had an uncle whose name was Percy, and he had children.
Sorry. No offense.
He must have been doing that on his days off if he was homosexual.
I'm just saving that last one we did. Where am I going to put it? Output.
Jeez,
ready to air. What's your name? New Zealand. Guests. Dennis Hall. There we go. Right. Done. Jolly good. Sorry about that. Yes, so civilization. We touched on Russia, on how I thought Putin was a good guy, and we're the baddies. NATO and USA are the baddies, and Saddam Hussein. I wonder whether he's as bad as we've made out to be, and also the Libyan leader Gaddafi. I don't think he was as bad as what they made out to be. I think that they just wanted to destroy that country to take over its assets and its minerals and its oil.
I do actually think that's far too simplistic, but anyway.
Oh, well, it is, but I tell you what, sometimes the simple answer is the right answer.
Well, yeah, I can't argue with that, but I do. I still.
Well, you could. You could argue if you wanted to, if you could be bothered.
But it was sort of because to me it's simple. I mean, it was all brought about really, and made worse by the differences between Islam and Europeanism and Christianity, you know, and they all get mixed up together. But you know, I don't think that Islam, in the form that it was, you know, one of the things you've got to realize about Islam is they were flat out killing people all over the world, not in their own country.
Had been. Yeah, that's right. It's what is it? Winston Churchill. He says it's a Mein Kampf. He read it. And he said it's the book, a book of war. He read the Quran, and he said it's the Mein Kampf of war. Winning.
Yeah, well, yeah, and so, and the thing is that they seem to have stopped that. They don't do that anymore. So, you know, is that just a fad that we had that brought down the two Twin Towers and all that sort of stuff?
I don't know. I'm still not. I'm not unconvinced. Oh, it's a funny way of saying, isn't it? I'm not sure whether it still could have been an inside job to give them the moral high ground to go into these countries.
No, I don't believe that for a minute.
Well, I'll tell you what convinced me, and there's a general, and I can't think of his name, but I'll send it to you. He's a 5-star general, and he was in visiting the Pentagon after he retired, and one of the generals said, "Oh, come into the office," and he came in and he said, "Hey, listen, we're going to be invading 7 Middle Eastern countries over the next 5 years." And he said, "What?" And he said, 7. And he said, "Why?" He said, "I don't know." This is just after 9/11. We're going to invade 7 of them.
Yeah, but the idea of that is a bit of gossip.
It's not gossip. No, this is a 5-star general speaking on a speaker's circuit. I'll send you the video. I just can't remember his name. Bradley? No, it wasn't Bradley. No, that was a long time ago. A general, like General Bradley, of that caliber, and he, I think he was involved in the Gulf War, this general. But I've got the video, and he speaks a lot. It's not just one video. There's many multi-videos of him saying this. I'm surprised he wasn't taken out. But he's basically saying, you know, we plan to go into these countries well before. You know, and they started with Egypt, didn't they? Remember, they had that, they started there. Then they went Afghanistan. And then they went to Iraq, and then they did Libya, and they tried Syria, but Putin stopped them. Remember, they were going to attack Syria, and Putin put a stop to it, and Iran. So Iran and Syria and Russia are allied to stop this. It's an aggression from NATO and from America. And they pretend that you know, it's always the same. They say, "Oh, he's killing his own people," or he's using weapons of, you know, chemical weapons on his own people. But usually it turns out to be absolute rubbish. Like with the Syrian leader, have you ever heard him speak?
No. Well, probably. I can't remember.
You should listen to him. He's a very intelligent man, and I see, like, you will see in him, because you used to drive taxis, so you're used to looking at people straight away and getting a feel for them. And I think that you'll come away from one of his long talks or interviews with a sense that he's an honest man. That was the impression I got. And I've been in sales myself. That was the impression that I got.
But if he, you know, to his way of seeing things, he might have been being honest.
I see him as being an honest person. But I don't get that from Biden. I don't get that from Trump or any of the leaders. I didn't get it from Bush Senior or George Bush or Clinton, especially not Clinton. I just saw people telling lies, just absolute liars. I don't see that him.
But Grant, to be real, you know, you would feel a closer association with those people than you would with the leaders of Afghanistan and other places, because you wouldn't know them in the same way. I mean, I know that
I know now, I wouldn't trust any politician. They're untrustworthy. Most of them are compromised.
The one that I would trust out of all of them is the one that seems the least trustworthy, and that's Trump.
Well, Donald Trump, he's just, you know, it's all bravado and hyperbole, but I don't even trust him. I really don't.
And I get that it's all, you know, that's what, got him in there. But I mean, good God, you've only got to look at Biden, and you can. Why would the Americans vote for Biden?
Well, I mean, because he's not running it. That's why. He's just some other people are running it.
But he's on the left, and would the left do? Would the left use a puppet? Absolutely. Do I believe the left? General, honest, I do not. Mm. And do I believe?
And his running mate is a half-wit, isn't she?
Who?
Kamala Harris is a half-wit. You know, she doesn't.
I've got no idea. What I've never been able to figure out what the hell she's doing there.
Mm. Yeah.
Right now, I'll tell you what, if I was younger, if I was 20, 30 years younger, I would absolutely move to the United States.
Well, you should be a multi-millionaire right now with all the skills you have sculpting.
Being a sculptor in New Zealand, I might as well have been a puppeteer.
Absolutely. It would have been okay if the artists, if the guild of artists or whoever, if the elite, so-called, the eyelights in the art, if they weren't so frightened of you, Dennis, they see your work and they see it as head and shoulders above anything else as far as sculpting goes in New Zealand, and they're frightened of it because your work looks lifelike, and they can't do that.
Well, it's very flattering
and for
you to say
them. That's why they want to keep you out.
I appreciate that, but I sort of know that in a way because I know the way that I was treated and ignored. Mm. And yeah, that's the reason terrifying. Why that you I've sent you that video of me destroying that sculpture, right?
Yeah. We'll play that
reason,
one day.
The reason I did that was because they disrespected the other stuff that I did by ignoring it. The arts people did. And I'm trying not to swear and use cuss words, but I hold the arts people, the arts establishment, in very low regard. Mm. I really do.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
And the reason for that is once I realized that I had that sculptural talent, I mean, that sort of popped out. I mean, I knew I could do that sort of thing, but I didn't ever use it. But one day I sat down. I'd been in a fight at the homestead. We got gate crashed. And in the course of the fight, the only time I've ever been gate crashed in my life, and fighting is not my thing. But, you know, so I ended up in a bloody great big brawl in the ballroom of the homestead. And I got knocked unconscious out in the hallway by three Maori guys who were actually my neighbours, and their father was my nearest neighbour, and I injured my foot, and so two guys were holding me and this guy was coming at me, while the two guys were holding me, so I gave him a kick, because I was barefoot. And what I did was I turned my foot backwards and couldn't walk. So I sat out on the veranda, and this local potter, also a Maori guy, came along and he was talking to me, and I told him that I used to do a bit of sculpture. So he turned up with two bloody great big bags of clay and said, "Be a sculptor." So I said, "Okay." And I was. And I'll bloody show you.
So that work you can see there, on top of the flag, that's one of Dennis's.
And so this is the first sculpture that I did.
Oh, is that the first one?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I did another smaller one, but that was the first one I did, and that was just straight out of my head. Mind you, I love naked women, so...
What's that made of?
Well, it's made of resin. It's the same way as you make a boat.
Oh, so what did you do? You did it in clay first and then did, what, a plaster Paris mould?
Yeah.
And then you rolled
poured stuff in. It was an experiment, worked perfectly.
Yeah.
The fiberglass people told me it would never work, but it did.
Look at that.
Hmm?
It looks strong enough.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
And then we've got the one of Muldoon, which was really good.
Dead, gone.
So if you look on our YouTube channel, you'll see that there's a short there of you interviewing Rob Muldoon talking about communism.
we were going to talk about the civilization, which is get off topic about Grant.
I think we're finished with civilization. I think we've gone back the other way now, and going back to I think when we look back at this time since 2017, it's going to be called the we had the Dark Ages, this is going to be called the Dumb Ages.
I do. Television has certainly dumbed people down.
Mm.
Television should have been informing people. It's done the opposite.
Yeah,
it's dumbed them down.
The teachers have dumbed the kids down. That's a purpose. The communists have infiltrated the schools, and they've dumbed the kids down.
That's why they want to drop the voting age. Yeah. That's why they want to drop the voting age, because they know that they've already indoctrinated the kids.
Yeah, that's right. They've done a fantastic job in the last 10 years indoctrinating them. So they're going to all these little voters. How many voters would they have? They'd have millions. Enough to win the election. They could sway the election. Oh, no, the thing is, with that, I've just found out that even if that goes through, even if they push that through, they said it won't take effect till the next election.
Do you know what that is? That's Jacinda Ardern offering a reassurance to all of the people who know that it's a jack-up.
Yeah.
She also knows it will go through, it will be
in the next election, guaranteed. Yeah.
She also knows that at the next election there'll be three more years of indoctrinated.
Yeah. Talk about lies.
It's about as dodgy as you can get.
Yeah. They said, well, I think it's possible that you can operate in politics without lying. I can't, but I think it is possible. Remember when she said that?
She said that you can operate in politics without lying.
I believe it's possible you can operate in politics without lying. But she's just the mother of lies.
She's the mother of lies, all right.
And so is that jolly Winston Peters that everyone's getting rapped about now. He's a liar, and he uses MMP as an excuse to not do what he's campaigned on.
Oh, you know, I can't believe the people that I know who are going to support Winston Peters.
They're going to, yeah. Right now, the group, the people, we did a vote. We did a, what do you call it, a something poll. A May poll. We did some kind of a poll, and Democracy NZ came in at 47% or 44%, followed by the National Party, no, ACT, and National were quite a way down. Labour was off the charts, not even 1%. And the group that I associate with, that was 188 people voting. But you see, it's the trouble with that is it's a echo chamber, isn't it? It's not really based on reality. It's just the group that I'm in. And I think that's what they want to do with us. That's what Facebook does. They've developed it in such a way that they put all the people like us into this little group and we just whinge and moan and chat to each other and share stuff, and we think the whole world's seeing it. But the left aren't seeing it. If they did that, they'd be going crazy commenting on our stuff. But they don't, because they never see it.
Mm. Yeah. The social media is completely subverted by lunatics.
Total waste of time. Telegram's not bad. And Twitter, I think, is good for little short things. Once you know how to use it, I'm just learning how to use Twitter. I've always found it a bit obscure. But Telegram, you're just basically posting things. Twitter and Telegram, you know, together is probably Facebook. But Facebook they've just completely ruined it for us. They've ruined it for us.
But I use Facebook as a memory.
Yeah, that's right. It's not a journal, isn't it? Yeah, it's like a journal.
Because my memory is knackered, eh? I started taking this new medication recently, and it did something terrible to my memory. So I get big blank spots. It's like if my brain were a newspaper.
Yeah.
Which is recording current affairs, current events. There would be columns completely missing. That column would be there, one alongside it completely gone, and then there'd be another short one, and there'd be part of another one. But, you know, big blank spots.
Well, that's why I ring you every day, because you're starting to forget who I was. So now I ring you every day.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
What's for lunch?
Oh, I'm just eating chocolate.
Oh, good. I might go and have some. Anyway, so that's good. I'll put together that other one we did. That was great, talking about the communist takeover, Ardern. Do you think, though, if Ardern was, you know, if she walked across, walked out and across the road and got run over by a bus accidentally. Would the communist thing would still carry on, wouldn't it, without her? She's not the be-all and end-all of the party, is she? Although the party say they've lost confidence in her, this is what we've heard, and that they think that it'll take three elections for them to recover from what this group of people, that Ardern, Robertson, and what's his name, Scuttlebuck, Hipkins, Little.
How can anybody talk about the New Zealand government and what it's doing without mentioning the Mahuta and that Willie Jackson?
Oh, the Mahuta, yeah.
I'm completely convinced that Jacinda Ardern is being bullied by the Mahuta.
Oh, truly?
But I wouldn't trust any of them as far as I could kick them.
No, and there's another communist in there. The one that John Ansell gave a bollocking about and asked him what should the penalty for genocide be, Kieran McInulty, he's a confessed socialist, which is code for communist as well. So, you know, and I felt that the way he was speaking to the Prime Minister, he was such a cocky little nut when he was having this one-on-one with her. I felt that he was not at all frightened of her, that, you know, I wouldn't trust him if I was her.
I believe the people calling the shots in the current government of the Maori caucus all day long.
Truly. That's really bad, isn't it?
When you consider that they're so blatant about, I mean, why would Maori people, because they've got brown skin or some sort of, or some of them can claim a little bit of Maori, need a different health system to everybody else who's just as human as what?
I think thinking Maori know it's rubbish, and they know.
I'm sure they do.
It's going to be worse for everybody. It's already bad. So to do that, and when we've already got, because of the mandates, an absolute crisis as far as in medicine and health, it's an absolute crisis. Shortage of doctors and nurses and other professionals have gone other places, retired. A lot have taken early retirement. To do that, bring in this side-by-side Maori health system is just ridiculous.
But ridiculous is the wrong word. It's racist.
But it's suicide. It's going to be the end of the health system. Maybe that's what we need.
They say openly that they're going to give Maori priority, which nobody should get a racial priority.
No.
Anywhere at all. The person who should get priority in the hospital is the sickest person. End of story. Mm. But I was in Wellington Hospital 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago or something.
Yeah.
Because I managed to get an infection in one of my feet. And I was there for 3 days on an intravenous drop, you know. But when I got there to A&E, I waited 8 hours.
Yeah. That's a long time for anyone.
And I'm 80 years old, so I'm sitting there for 8 hours. And then after 6 hours, this lady came out. She was a doctor, and I don't know why she'd singled me out. but she came out, and I was sitting in a chair, and Lily was with me. And this lady said, "You've got a problem with your foot, you know." And I said, "Well, yep." And she said, "Go, let me have a look." So I took my shoes and socks off. She was a doctor, right? Mm. So she knelt down on the floor out in the zoo, with all the people waiting to go into A&E and examine my feet, right? That was nice. I mean, if you had a foot fetish, you'd be sort of delighted, wouldn't you? Not that I do. But anyway, so she examined my feet, told me what was wrong, and she said, "Right, I'm going to have you in a bed and on a drip fairly soon." She said, and I said, "Thank you very much." And off she went. And she sort of toddled off quite quickly. So she was, she had made her diagnosis. And another 2 hours later, so it was 8 hours, was it 8 hours or 10 hours? But 2 hours later, anyway, they came along and said, "We've got to take you to this room, blah, blah, blah," which they did, and immediately put me on a drip. And so that was nice. But one of the things I noticed is that all over that really casualty and emergency area of Wellington Hospital and other parts of Wellington Hospital, all the names have been changed to Maori.
Mm.
So, you know, there's
no one knows the way around.
Well, you know, I mean, it's ludicrous stuff. It's when the health system is struggling for money and they rush around and rip all the signs down.
Which would have cost millions of dollars to do that,
It is beyond belief because Maori language and the Maori culture contributed zero to the health system. Zero. Yeah, exactly. Because back in the day, before we came, if somebody was dead, they would eat them. You know, I mean, not necessarily all of them, but the tasty ones, I suppose. But whatever. The idea that there's a Maori component in their health system is ludicrous. And so there could be now to some degree, but, you know, it's not based on real Maori culture. Real Maori culture today is a completely different thing to Maori culture when we arrived. Completely different. Every Maori in New Zealand lives in the European culture. They live in a house, they've got a Holden, they've got a cell phone, they've got a stove, they go to the supermarket, they get a benefit, or they don't get a benefit, or they got a job, or whatever. But it doesn't matter which one of those things you do, it's European society. That's where they live.
And so brown people living in a European society.
So all of those signs in the hospital that say Maori names for X-ray and Maori names for go over here, it's all bullshit because all the words would have had to be made up to be a Maori name. So
when did somebody first start using te reo? The word te reo.
I read it 5 years ago.
But yeah, I'd never heard of it until recently.
No, 5 years ago. It's a whole new thing. It's entirely political. I do not believe that any of it's real. It's entirely political, and it's completely wrong for us to be that stupid. And so it's all very well to protect. If you were going to actually preserve Maori language, you would want to do it in a way that is authentic. And if it's authentic, you would not have a Maori word for car, which I understand is motakare.
It's just a transliteration.
So that's not genuine Maori language. It's been made up.
Transliteration, yeah. Well, they wouldn't have had a word for a horse and cart or anything.
No, and that's right.
They didn't have a wheel.
Well, you know, I'm told they had 700 words. That's what I've read. But so, you know, but see, we vilify people who write about this. And, you know, they have to be really careful about themselves. And people like Bruce and Bruce Moon and Paul Moon, I think it's interesting that they're not related, but whatever. And you know, several others that we know of and who have written stuff about all this. I mean, you know, it's a scary thing to do. And one of the things the Maoris did have, because they had to have back in the day, was they had to be aggressive. That's the way they stayed alive.
That's
because,
right.
You know, you could
strength.
Not. Eh?
Show
Absolutely.
Strength.
Mm. Absolutely. So, you know, you had to be prepared to fight. Mm. You had to be prepared to fight. You just did. And so that aggressive streak in their makeup is still there. And, you know, and what do? We use it in rugby.
I know. It's like you're in training. Rugby is like in training for the next war.
Well, it sort of feels like that to me. But you know, I don't know. How the hell do we get on that topic? It's a dangerous topic because
I know. We should just give it a miss. Anyway, well, shall we end it there? It's been quite long. I'm a bit tired.
Yeah, me too. I've got
go and have something to eat.
Yeah.
Cook yourself an egg on toast or something.
Yeah, what's the time? No, I got Lily makes porridge for me before she goes to work.
Oh, that's long lasting. That's slow releasing. Yeah, that's a good idea. I should have porridge.
It's sitting on the stove waiting for all I gotta do is put the heat on underneath it, you know. Lily is amazing. She's amazing. Yeah. I've had, you know, quite a few ladies in my life. Lily is absolutely astonishing. And you know, and I did what, you know, that what so many people get criticized for, married an Asian woman. And they go, oh, yeah, really? What did you do that for? I'll tell you what, give it a try.
She's been good to you, hasn't she?
Oh, she's been good to me. By crikey, has she ever? And loyal and amazing. And so I love her. And so, and she loves me, so people can say what they bloody like.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, thanks, Dennis. We'll talk again.
Yeah, we will. I'm sure we will. But maybe we need to write down on a piece of paper what we're going to talk about and try to stick to it.
Oh, I like this.
Because, and so we have to talk about death sometime.
Oh, no. I'll talk about it after you've gone.
Well, that's going to be soon, so I want to talk about it while I'm still here.
You can if you want.
Yeah. All right, we'll see.
Okay, mate.
Okay, we're tied next time.
Catch you later.
Okay, see ya.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater.
Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better.
And masks are protective. And
but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
And are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.